hold you again. Boom, boom, boom. The hurting's on me, yeah.
Talk about the hurting.
And I will never be right, oh, no, no, no. You gave a promise to me, yeah. And you broke it. You broke it, honey. These eyes are crying. These eyes have seen a lot of love, but they're never gonna see another one like I have with you. These eyes are crying. These eyes have seen a lot of love, but they're never gonna see another one like
you. Go! Fight!
Move it! Go! Get what's up!
Hand me the keys, your fairy godmother.
This is bozo, man.
Where'd you get that beauty scar, tough guy? Eating pineapple?
Stuff you.
These sound like a great big chicken just waiting to be plucked.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
That's bullcrap.
Freak you, Sam Rothstein, freak you!
I have had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday play!
You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
Welcome to Cinema. Presto Pizza, Presto Pizza, Presto Pizza.
Episode 134 of Cinema Crespediso has started. How's it going? I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Thank you very much for downloading. We appreciate it. You guys are awesome. If you're listening on iTunes, rate us, review us. Subscribing is cool if you want to do that too. If you're listening through other means, such as, say, the Stitcher Radio, favorite us, do whatever it is that they do on those things. Leave comments. Interact. That's what we like. That's what we appreciate. I'm hanging out with the co-host, co-producer, Juice Cogburn, Drew.
What up, dude? How's it going?
Going all right. The one and only Drewster. Saw Manatee this morning.
Did you?
Yeah, like kind of pumped out of the water just a little bit. Like,
I've seen a lot of manatees.
In your time?
When I was a young lad, I did some snorkeling with the manatees.
Yeah, sure.
Like in the fucking lakes, rivers and shit up here.
Yeah, they're all over the place. The canals.
And I have a really awful story about a dead manatee from when I was younger.
Ooh, if you want that awful story, email Drewster Cogburn at drewstercogburn@awfulmanateestories.com. Get all your awful manatee story needs done right there.
We'll just say a buddy of mine didn't so much jump over a dead manatee as he fell through.
Ooh. It sounds like a bit out of a movie.
Real life. I saw this with my own two eyes.
What was the movie in which some people tried to like push a dead whale and they just like sunk into it? On the beach? They tried to push it back into the water.
Was that one of the Anchorman movies or something?
Was that Anchorman 2?
I think so.
I think it was.
Yeah. It was one of those stupid movies, yeah.
Well, if you're
same
not...
Same type of deal.
If you're not busy jumping through dead manatees or running face first into bloated
beach
whales, rotting whales, then listen to our show. Share it with your friends and neighbors and loved ones, and even people that you only casually know, and even total strangers. Maybe even those you don't like, if you want to torture them with something.
We're not that bad.
It depends on, you know. Beauty is in the eye of that Metallica song. It's a pretty good song. That's good stuff. So, here we go. Kind of a late start to the show. It's been kind of a crazy month for start times, and, you know, it's been a little weird. Next weekend, things will be settling down a little bit.
No, they won't.
Yeah, no, it will. Hopefully.
No, maybe for you.
Oh, shit. That's how that works. Sorry.
I mean, for you, next week is the settle down point. For me, next week is the ramping up point.
Oh, shit. If you want to hear more about that, email JuiceCogburn at rampinguppoints.com for all your Ramping Up Point story needs. Juicy Cogburn's got it all. I'm just saying.
He's I do.
Man has an empire, a growing empire, a cottage industry, a cheese industry, a log cabin industry, a milk industry. He's got it all.
Not to mention a fine furnishings industry.
Oh, fine furnishings. It's coming back, Jer.
One of these days.
One of these days. Juicy Cogburn's fine furnishings is coming back, and we're going to sell all those fine furnishings at Skinny D Snack Shack.
No, that's going to be like the tables and everything.
Yeah, and then people like the table, then they buy the table.
But then where am I going to get another table?
Yeah, make more Juicy Cogburn's fine furnishings.
There's only one of me, man.
Yeah, I know. We're gonna have to clone you. If they can clone Dolly the sheep, we can clone a Juicy Cogburn. Because what this world needs is more Juicy Cogburns. Put a bunch of Juicy Cogburns in a room. You know what they sound like? It's like, whoa, these guys are energetic.
That was very appropriate,
and
Mr. Crespo.
And Murray in tune. It's kind of scary.
And they're all kind of angry about the same stuff.
And they're all looking up at the main, at the real Juicy Cogburn. That's you up there at the top.
Vampire? Is that just laughing?
That's just supremely evil.
Yeah.
It's labeled demonic laugh, but it's from Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah.
Hence, movie appropriate. Hence, Cinema Crespedis. So, let's get this shit started, yo. You ready for that?
Yes.
All right. So, before we do all of the great show stuff that's coming down the road, we got to start with what we do every... Before we even do that, actually, I wanted to... Got to put this out there. Can't let this not go unsaid. RIP, Hot Rod, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh, R.I.P., yeah.
R.I.P., age of 61. That's a bummer. Pro wrestlers die, you know.
Young,
unfortunately, and he's... Man, he grew up in the ring, but his deal was in the 70s and 80s for the most part. That was like primo, drug abusing, like hard road living lifestyle. All those guys are, if you're not Hogan or Ric Flair, you're dead.
Yeah, and I don't know how those guys even survived.
Deals with the devil. Deals with individual devils. Not the devil, like devil's minions.
Yeah.
Deals with the minions is how they got, I don't know.
So tiny little yellow things but then, that he deals with?
Yeah, but then shit has come home to roost for both of them. Ric Flair got knocked the fuck out by his daughter's like fiance or husband or boyfriend or whatever. And then Hogan now, apparently he's a crazy racist.
Sweet.
That's just coming out. So
awesome.
Sad. The guy's half Peruvian. He's going to be all racist. Peruvian? If you're from Peru, you're Peruvian, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's half Peruvian. So Hot Rod Rowdy Piper... Obviously, he's been in a lot of stuff movie-wise and TV-wise, but there's only really one thing. He could have just been in one thing and been done with it, and he'd still be a legend because he was in John Carpenter's.
They live.
They live. Thank you. I thought you were going to say it, and then you kind of got well, you paused for a second, you doubted yourself.
Well, you paused for a second.
Because you were going to say it. Yeah, I was going to let you say it.
I thought we were going to say it together, but then you stopped, and I question myself. I'm like, wait a minute. Was that They Live? No, that was.
I missed the pre-show meeting where we agreed to.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
we did. They Live is an amazing movie. Apparently, he had to like break his contract at the time with WWF because Vince McMahon only wanted his wrestlers to be in movies that were produced by WWF, the No Holds Barred, right? And to this day, WWE is still producing a lot of movies with their wrestlers, John Cena. The guy who played
But they're not John Carpenter movies.
They're not, exactly. That's why Roddy Piper was like, brother.
Sorry, man.
I know you're going to make a bunch of movies, but none of them will be directed by John Carpenter.
Yeah.
So he fucking like, he left the company. Very lucrative for him at the time. Did an awesome, awesome movie. He's perfect for it. And legendary status. Hot Rod Roddy Piper. Second legendary Roddy to die in the last 20 years now or so. 15 years. Because Rod Roddy. One of the voices of The Price is Right. That guy. Come on down. The guy who do that.
Yeah.
He died.
That's a shame.
A while ago.
Didn't even notice.
Well, the new guy's pretty good. It's not the new guy. Anyway, Roddy Piper, we miss you. Time for a double feature of They Live and Hell Comes to Frogtown.
Sweet.
Now, let's get into the Netflix and Pick of the Week. For the entertainment that you see,
you see?
It's time for the Netflix Pick of the Week. The Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. All right. Juicy Cogburn's working the randomizer over there. Randomizer 9000. You can go to chriscrespo.com, check out the past Netflix Instant Picks of the Week. We had a couple of spy films recently. A Most Wanted Man, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, both very good. A couple of kung fu movies.
All right, Chris. This one is from 1989.
I like it.
It's rated R.
I like it even more.
It's 1 hour and 46 minutes long.
1 hour. Good length.
And you have rated it 5 stars.
Oh, because it's an oldie, but a goodie. Okay, so we are talking about... is it the Asian?
Yes.
It is... Does it star Chow Yun-Fat?
Yes.
Is he on the cover holding guns?
Or
a gun?
Yes.
Is he holding a gun or guns?
Yes.
No, I want an answer. Gun or guns?
A gun, and he's not the only one holding a gun on the cover.
The killer.
Correct.
All right. Oh.
I had to think for a second. I was like, is that? I'm like, which one of these guys is Chow Yun-Fat on the poster?
He's a cool guy with the sunglasses. Let me write that down here. The killer... is a fucking boss goddamn movie. I'm asking because if it was him, just him, holding two guns, then it would have been Hard Boiled. Same director. John Woo.
Yes.
Okay. The Killer is the movie that, like, one of the movies that inspired Tarantino and Rodriguez, that whole generation of filmmakers. He even name drops it in Jackie Brown. Mm-hmm. When Samuel Jackson's going through, he's showing him the video of the chicks and, like, is a selling video or whatever, yeah. Right? For all the different guns. He's like, all the motherfuckers want to be the killer. Could talk about that big handgun. You know?
Yeah.
It's totally name dropping. He's like, that shit jamming up all the time. It's a movie in which Chow Yun-Fat is a assassin and he accidentally, in a crazy shootout, accidentally blinds a woman, a singer. And he feels bad about it, so he takes care of her without revealing that he's, like, the killer.
The guy who did it.
And then, meanwhile, people want to kill him, and it's this whole crazy shit.
Oh, he has to kill other people.
Ends with an amazing shootout scene in the church, and it's pure distilled John Woo, so it's, like, over-the-top action. Lots of big, swooping camera movements, but not, like, jarring ones. It's just, like, a nice, big dolly shot while, like, characters are running in opposite directions, shooting... Each handgun holds at least 50 bullets.
Yeah.
Like, so many bullets. It's so over the top. And then things are flying up in the air everywhere because apparently these bullets, none of them go straight.
No, they
go
in all directions. This way and that way. Yeah. Sparks flying.
So, yeah, so as they're running, there's like just fucking debris all over the place. It's like a pre-Matrix shootout scene. Like the Matrix when they go up to the lobby and they shoot the place up. It's like that, but without a slow motion.
Sweet.
So it's just shit going crazy. Fun movie. I love it. It's good stuff. Makes me want to watch it. Yeah. Again, I just watched it a couple months ago. I want to watch it again. The Killer. Check that one out. That is the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Let's get into that box office recap, Drew. Why don't you say about that?
I mean, sure, we can do that.
All right, cool. Let's go.
Coming in number 5 this week.
Number 5.
Pixels had an additional gross of $10.4 million. Total of 45.6 on a budget of 88.
Goddamn, Pixels. Not doing too well.
Number 4 this week, Minions.
Oh, that's it for Pixels, I guess.
Had a weekend gross of $12.2 million. Total of 287.3.
That's Minions?
On a budget of 74.
So Minions, 287. Yeah. And what was the weekend again?
This is the fourth weekend.
But how much?
Oh, 12.
12 at 287. So maybe not next weekend, but at 2 weeks, it's going to crack 300, which would make it the fourth or fifth $300 million grossing film of the year already. And last year only had 3, and 2 of those movies came out in the last 2 months of the year. That shit's cray, yo! Number 3.
Yeah, I mean, hell, Inside Out, made over $300 million
now. Yeah, it's one of the ones. Inside Out, Jurassic World, Ant-Man, it's not there yet. I meant Avengers, Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
What's that? That's 3 or 4 right there. Furious movie that came out. The Furious something 7, and there's another one in there. And so many goddamn movies making so much money. Still with the Hunger Games movie to come out, a James Bond movie to come out, a goddamn Star Wars, a little Star Wars movie.
Speaking of Ant-Man,
number 3.
Yeah.
Let it out, Drew. Get it out.
12.6 million.
Get the demons out.
Total gross at 132.
That's what happens when you yawn, right? The demons are trying to come out.
On a budget of 130.
That's why your mouth has to open so wide because there's so many demons.
There are lots of demons.
What was that number 3 again? I wasn't listening at all.
Ant-Man. 12.6 million. Total of 132.
So it broke 130. Okay, it might get to 150, 160. I'm pretty sure that's like Incredible Hulk territory for numbers. Not what they're hoping for.
Yeah.
Is that a sign, do you think, Drew, of... Do you think it's just people not being into the character Ant-Man? Do you think it might be we're starting to get tired now of these fucking Marvel movies?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things.
Yeah.
A C-level character.
Totally C-level. so surprised that they went through this. Even though he's an original Avenger in the comic books, but no one gives a fuck about
that. He's like Aquaman.
Yes.
Nobody cares.
And we're still getting one of those, dude. Getting that fucking... No, who's directing? They just announced a director. Anyway.
Anyway.
So
there's that.
C-level character.
Yeah, C-level character. There's that. Okay. B, you've got Paul Rudd in an action movie. If people are fans of Paul Rudd, they want to see him in a comedy.
That's true. It's the first time anyone's seen him in this type
action movie.
Absolutely.
So he doesn't have the action draw.
Right. Okay. It's kind of like when the first Born Identity movie came out.
Yeah.
That was Matt Damon's first time doing an action movie. He had to convince a lot of people that he could do it.
Exactly.
Know? So yeah, I totally get that. And then I think now with Ant-Man showing that Paul Rudd's pretty good in that type of role.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, Chris Pratt was able to do it. People will show up for Ant-Man too.
I have a feeling Ant-Man's going to do well on DVD.
Sure. Yeah, where people are more willing to give that shit a shot. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then they'll turn out maybe for Ant-Man 2.
Maybe. Probably not. But they'll at least care. They'll at least notice. They won't be like, why is Paul Rudd in this Avengers movie? You know, why is Paul Rudd in Civil War? What the fuck's going on here?
Yeah, true, because he's going to be in those movies. Yeah. Absolutely. Man, I want that giant man, yo. It's doing okay for them. We'll see. We'll see how it goes down the road. The guy who did Furious 7,
mm-hmm.
James Wan,
yeah,
he's doing Aquaman. So the guy who directed Saw is directing Aquaman, to give you an idea of the direction they're going in with that. The guy directed Saw, Death Sentence, and Furious 7.
It's going to be a weird-ass movie.
Weird-ass fucking movie. Give them props for going in an interesting direction. It's probably going to be shite, but you know what? Number two.
A movie that's not so weird... probably just as shite, at least in my eyes.
Here we go.
Number two.
Here we go.
Vacation. Weekend gross of $14.85 million.
Came out on a Wednesday, though.
Total of $21.172.
Okay.
Budget unlisted on Box Office Mojo.
$21 million for a five-day weekend for an R-rated comedy that no one asked for.
Mm-hmm.
What was the budget?
Unlisted.
I would guess like maybe... $60 million.
Okay.
I think that might be an okay. Obviously, I say this all the time, they would have wanted more, but I don't think that'd be too much to be disappointed by. We saw this.
Yes, we did.
Opening night, Wednesday night.
Uh-huh.
Cause was like, yeah, why not?
I mean, it's there, might as well.
It's there. We got to do our due diligence.
Busy weekend anyway.
Got a busy weekend. So, what did you think of Drew Sycocker? You already kind of said that.
Yeah, I was a bit unimpressed. Actually, a lot unimpressed. There was that whole spiel where, you know, I think, where even in the movie, they were very tongue-in-cheek talking about Vacation, how this one's going to be different. It's not going to be the same.
Yeah, kids, like, I don't even know the original Vacation.
Exactly.
It's like, this one will stand on its own.
Yeah. It does stand on its own as an awful Vacation movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it... There wasn't that much original things going on. The things that were supposed to be big and raunchy and funny really weren't that big or raunchy or funny.
I feel like the funniest jokes are kind of beat to death in the commercials and trailers.
Yeah.
Like the first time I saw him when he tried to do a handbrake turn and then the car rolls over. First time I saw it in the commercial, I was like, oh, that's funny. Saw it 10 more times in commercial form. Before I actually saw the movie. And then when it happens to me, I'm like, here it comes. It's a handbrake and the car flips over.
Exactly. The kids were annoying.
I liked the dynamic that they had with the kids, where the younger brother was the bully of the older brother, because the older one was
a pussy.
To put it politely. But I just thought it was weird, kind of a spoiler alert, who gives a shit, it's a fucking Vacation movie. Weird that 75% of the way through the movie, just like...
They flip.
He realizes he can push the kid down, and then the little kid's all of a sudden he's like, I'm not gonna pick on him anymore.
Because the pussy has the power of the pussy.
Right, because the chick is like, you should do that. He's like, okay. And then it's just over. There's no more. The movie has like another half an hour to go.
Yeah.
But that whole storyline is
gone.
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and
felt like there were a lot of things like that they brought up in the movie, and then it was just like, here, and then we're done with it, and we're not going to come back to it.
Exactly. I mean, you know, Chevy Chase and what's-her-face?
Beverly D'Angelo.
Were both in the movie for a whole 3 minutes.
And Beverly D'Angelo maybe had like one line. And Chevy Chase
looks like hell.
Like between the end of Community and this.
Got
like, I was already expecting to see him old and fat, but.
Older and fatter.
He looked like he ate Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. He ate me. I was going to say Dan Aykroyd. He reminded me a lot of Dan Aykroyd because Dan Aykroyd's old. He's got the same old, hangly, old man, square jowl thing going on. Looked like you swallowed Dan Aykroyd.
Yep. Anyway, so yeah, not
Chevy,
so good.
Chevy.
I mean, Christina Applegate is still attractive for being
she is. And I've always liked her. I've always thought she was funny, the different things she's done, going all the way back to Married with Children. And I thought she was fine. I thought Ed Helms was fine casting for what they were going for, the whole Ernest thing that he does so well. Ernest but dumb.
But I'm getting really sick of that. Earnest but dumb thing that he does.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's his bread and butter.
Yeah. But he was really he was super earnest and super dumb in this movie.
Yeah. Over the top.
Yeah.
It was over the top.
I mean, even in, what was that one movie where he's the
Cedar Rapids?
Yes.
But in that one, there's more naivety in there. That one, you had a feeling that guy never even got laid. Like maybe he had sex once and it was by accident type of thing, you know? Whereas this guy, he's a family man, you know? He's like, he knows what a glory hole is, but he doesn't know what a rim job is.
Nope.
So how does that happen? How does that work?
Don't know.
Interesting. Where's this guy been?
Anyway, not so good. Don't recommend it.
I thought it was amusing at best. I did laugh a few times, but it's not like something I could really recommend.
Yeah, no.
You know? You know, it's weird how, and then we're talking about a vacation movie, right?
Yes.
It's not like the first one is good. Christmas Vacation is good. You know, European Vacation is not good.
No.
Vegas Vacation is not very good. So it's not like it's some sort of sacred cow that they're shitting on.
No.
But it's weird how this one is so much more R-rated and not family friendly than the other ones are.
Correct.
Like this one, I mean, they were fucking...
Yeah, they were pretty raunchy.
Got really raunchy and mean, and it was just like a little weird. Like, I wasn't expecting that from a Griswold's movie. Also interesting that National Lampoon's refused to let their name be on this thing. It's not even like they decided not to use it. National Lampoon didn't want a part of it.
That's fine.
And
it's good for them. I mean, it's,
at this point, it's shite. Yeah. Which says something because they put out a lot of direct-to-video crap with their name on it.
And Rotten Tomatoes agrees with us, Chris.
All right, what is Rotten
Tomatoes? It is 23% rotten.
23% out of how many reviews?
99 reviews.
Woo! Stinky.
Yep. The consensus is, borrowing a basic storyline from the film that inspired it.
Very basic.
But forgetting the charm, wit, and heart, Vacation is yet another nostalgia-driven retread that misses the mark.
You know, I think that's an interesting point. It's the whole thing about the heart of the original film. Chevy Chase's Clark Griswold has the same kind of earnestness that we're talking about, but not in such a saccharine, dopey way.
No.
Or like he's an idiot, but he still carries an air of confidence about him. You know, like the whole thing where he's eating the sandwich with Chrissy Brinkley and he's smacking on his face.
Yeah.
Not knowing it's covered in dog pee, right? It's totally different as to when Ed Helms walks up to his son talking to a girl and tries to help him and comes across as a weird pedo. And, but this movie still tried to have like a heart to it. It wanted to be about him trying to help the family and fix the family. The family's not doing too well.
Yeah.
And there's even like an emotional scene or two where they're trying to like wrap all the emotional threads together and bring you to some sort of catharsis, right?
Doesn't work.
That coupled with all the R-rated jokes and Christina Applegate having that epic puke scene. If you don't like seeing characters puke in movies, you don't want to see this movie.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. It like rings hollow, you know. It's like you guys don't mean this shit. You know, you're calling all truckers are rapists, pedophiles, and like a lot of pedophile humor going on in this thing. As a matter of fact, now that I think about it, and it's just everyone's saying fuck all the time. Your little brother's constantly trying to kill the big brother with plastic bags.
Say fuck. He says fuck even. He says fuck the most.
He does. He has pretty in real life. That actor has pretty cool parents.
Yep.
Because they're there on set listening to their kids say this horrible thing. And they're encouraging them. Good job, Billy.
Yay!
Or Stevie or whatever.
Get that money.
Get us that money. Can't pay you college fees. We live in California, you know. We're running out of water over here. That's a conversation that they're having. So, Vacation, bit of a bummer. That's a shame. Good thing not the only movie to come out this weekend.
No. Number one movie. Mission, : Impossible, - Rogue Nation.
Exclamation point.
Exclamation point.
Oh, by the way, a vacation movie, $31 million budget. So it's going to make its money back.
Okay. I had a weekend gross of $56 million.
Nice, 56. That's pretty good.
Sims total, budget unlisted.
Pretty good, $56 million, budget unlisted. Let's see if I can find that. Mission, Impossible, Rogue Nation is upon us. Drusy Cogburn, you saw it on an IMAX screen. Limax?
On Limax.
In what theater?
Sarasota Westfield 18, I think.
I think that means
it's AMC, though.
That means it's time for a movie theater review. Okay, here we go, Drew Skagman. Tell us about this movie theater you went to.
It's an updated theater. It used to be an old AMC at the Sarasota Square Mall, but Sarasota Square Mall is not the Westfield Shopping Center now.
Oh, shit.
In Sarasota, Florida.
Take that.
And they upgraded the movie theater there, too. It's a Limax. At least the screen was curved.
Interesting. They curved it.
The sound was okay. Yeah. The seats were generic.
Not even nice leather seats.
No, there were that.
Like, at least the RPX over here at the Winter Park.
Stuff,
That bullshit.
That fake crushed velvet.
Yeah, fuck that stuff.
Yeah. The floors weren't sticky.
That's good.
There were the corridors are nice and big.
Okay.
So you don't feel like even it's double doors into all the theaters, too. Yeah. So
you don't feel squished in there.
No, not at all.
Cattle herded into that place.
I mean, shit was expensive as fuck.
Yeah, because it's that IMAX bullshit. Just because they throw an IMAX digital projector in there and call it IMAX, expecting to pay more money. Bunch of bullshit, if you fucking ask me. But anyway, okay, there you go.
It was good. It was a movie theater.
It was a movie theater?
It wasn't awful.
It was an AMC.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. That was the movie theater review. Oh, there we go. So, what did you think of the movie?
Mission : Impossible - Rogue Nation?
Yes.
It wasn't bad.
Just not bad?
I mean, I knew what I was getting into. I mean, it's a Mission Impossible movie.
Sure, yeah.
Unfortunately, both of the action scenes that I wanted to see the most what I thought were going to be the two biggest action, well, maybe the three biggest action scenes. Even still, all ruined in the trailers.
The airplane?
The airplane thing was ruined in the trailer. Well, that and I saw a making of on HBO. So I saw strapped to it watched him go up and down like three or four times. Like, Tom Cruise is a crazy fuck.
That'll take it out. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to watch it now.
I mean, that was cool. But the him swimming through
the water sequence.
The water sequence they gave away in the trailer that he died. They gave away in the
trailer. Yeah, because Simon Pegg does say that.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that line in the commercials. It's like, you were just dead a minute ago.
In all reality, there's only, I think, one plot thread that the trailers don't give away. And it's an American action movie, so you know who's going to win.
That's true. I was thinking that partway through the movie, there's like one scene. You know, I want to do a spoiler bonus episode for this so we can get more into detail. So we'll keep this kind of brief. But there was one scene where it's like shit's heavy. It's crazy. Like, oh, there's a literal timer counting down. And then I'm thinking, not so much are they going to get out of this, but how are they going to get out of this?
Because you know they're getting out of it.
Because I know they're making a Mission Impossible 6.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not going to be with like a bunch of...
No.
They're not doing a whole new one. It's not a G.I. Joe 2 scenario here where it's a whole new cast.
Yeah.
So it's like, how? It's a lot like watching a TV show, you know? Episode to episode, shit gets crazy. Like, oh my God, how are you going to do it? Or Batman, you know, same bat time. You know, they leave on a cliffhanger all the time. What, they're going to kill Batman at the beginning of the next episode? And then the rest of the episode is the funeral and the yugulguli, the yugulguli and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So there is that same. I definitely get that. And yeah, the trailer does definitely give away a couple of things. And it is funny how they throw in that line at Simon Pegg, like, you were just dead a minute ago. And does kind of give away that shit happened. And then
it's on par with the other Mission Impossible movies. You know, they've set a standard for action and Tom Cruisery, it met those standards.
There's a good amount of Tom Cruisery.
Yeah,
the motorcycle stuff.
And you know, I'm a fan of attractive brunettes with British accents. So I was
Ilsa,
hook, line, and sinker on that Rebecca Ferguson chick.
Is that her name?
Ooh.
She was pretty good too, and she was a badass chick. She was kicking ass out there.
Yeah,
it was really cool.
Super hot.
I liked it quite a bit, actually. I haven't seen Mission : Impossible - GoPro in a while.
Uh-huh. Which is what it was. The whole motorcycle scene. It looked like they just dropped GoPros to some of those fucking motorcycles.
Yeah, because they're like fucking, they're flying down the road and they're like super close to them.
Everything's so fucking shaky.
Yeah, some of the action scenes, that holds it back a bit. I thought the car chase stuff and the motorcycle stuff, for the most part, was shot well.
The action scenes.
The fight scene.
I'm so sick of fucking shaky cameras.
Yeah, like the hand-to-hand fight scene, it's the cameras are moving, it's edited very quickly. You know, oftentimes the cut comes right at the point of impact.
Yeah.
And like I said, go to YouTube, check out the 7-9 minute video, Jackie Chan, The Art of Action Comedy. And it's really more like the art of how to make an awesome looking action scene, fight scene. And it'll show you what everyone's doing wrong now. Like literally, it will show you what everyone's doing wrong. And this movie does it a lot. Fortunately, though, I thought the car stuff was done well. The motorcycle stuff was done well, and I appreciated the story. I thought it was pretty good. I liked that.
It was good. It was good enough.
I thought, I mean, it was entertaining. I liked how it started immediately. There's like no fat. Yeah. It had the preamble with the plane stuff.
Yep.
Opening credits, and then your first scene. Boom! It's like
you're
shit.
Going.
And then in this movie, the shit hits the fan fast.
Yeah.
Really fast. And the rest of the movie is them playing catch-up, right?
Yeah.
And I thought it was exploiting the best aspects of what the Mission Impossible movies have become. I would still say, just because at this point, thinking with all these movies, had some time on the GoPro, even though I would like to rewatch it, I still think the first one with Brian De Palma is my favorite one. Because it was directed by Brian De Palma, so it has all his flourishes and his camera moves and all the same tricks he does over and over.
The first one was definitely more of a spy movie as opposed to an action movie.
Yes. Yeah. It was finding identities and negotiating stuff, and the action sequences were few and far in between. But the action sequences were like on top of the tunnel being chased by a helicopter inside
almost
the fucking...
Almost get it, yeah. Almost getting your head chopped
off. It was pretty epic.
Yeah.
And the whole breaking into CIA epic stuff. Yeah, the more recent ones... I really started with the second one that was directed by John Woo. Ironically, John Woo, the killer, also the movie Mission Impossible 2, also officially known as M:I-2, the worst one of all of them easily. It's just unfortunate. The third one, the J.J. Abrams one, I think it's okay. That one feels more like a TV episode of the show.
Uh-huh.
Like this could have been, if Mission Impossible was a TV show, this is an episode. The last one... brought it back to like being big and grandiose and cinematic.
And this one keeps
and
on
this
that.
One I feel like it keeps on the what the last one really did. But I think if you're a fan of these movies, then you're gonna like this one quite a bit. I think it's quite good. It's definitely worth seeing in a theater on a big screen, because a lot of these scenes are meant to be seen. Like, oh shit, like it's a Tom Cruise action movie. We have to appreciate these while we still got them. Dude's 51, 52. They talked about getting the sixth one done sooner rather than later, because, you know, guys
getting old.
So I would say definitely see it in a theater, especially if you're just looking for even just an action movie. What would you say?
It's a summer blockbuster. It's
for
on
sure.
par with your Avengers.
Costs $150 million reportedly.
And your
150 is the budget.
You know, your Fast and Furious is and all this other nonsense.
Yeah.
So if you've gone to see those movies,
go see this one.
Go see this one.
There you go. I think
it's
better than Jurassic World.
It is certified fresh at 93%.
Well liked. What's your average rating?
7.6.
7.6? I would go 7. What would you go?
I'd probably do high sixes, low sevens.
High sixes, 6.75-ish.
Yeah,
something like that.
The consensus is Mission:Impossible-Rogue Nation continues the franchise's thrilling resurgence and proves that Tom Cruise remains an action star without equal.
Yeah, well, for sure. These days, I mean, no one works harder at being a goddamn action star than Tom Cruise.
Well, he actually does it.
Yeah. He learns stunt driving. He learns stunt motorcycle driving. He learns everything.
He learns how to strap himself to a plane on the outside.
He doesn't see
actually
stunts and actually fly
fucking,
over.
Like leave the
and hope that a piece of debris or a bird doesn't hit him in the face and ruin that moneymaker he's got going
Seriously.
Over there. The dude puts his life on the line simply for our entertainment.
Well, that and he's insane
to satisfy that insane itch and the. Pay him handsomely for it, also.
Millions and millions of dollars.
Handsomely, that's what handsomely means. There you go. Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol. We'll do a spoiler bonus
Rogue
episode.
Nation.
Rogue Nation, Ghost... Mission:Impossible-Ghost Nation.
Protocol.
Rogue Protocol.
Ghost Nation Protocol.
Ghost Nation Protocol? The Ghost Nation Protocol? What is the protocol of the Ghost Nation? That's a scary movie right there. Coming out on DVD this week. Divergent Series : Insurgent. That's the official title. I would just call it Insurgent, but they think people are stupid, so they have to let you know Insurgent is part of the Divergent series.
Okay.
True story, that movie with, what's his name? And who's his face?
Okay.
Jonah Hill and James Franco.
Oh, that weird one.
Yes, that weird one.
I want to see that.
So that was what's coming out on DVD. No great shakes. Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
Well, Chris, I know you are super excited for this.
Yes, yes, I am.
Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F.
Yeah, dude. F is Frieza. They brought Frieza back. Some people got the Dragon Balls. They're like, we want Frieza back. And Frieza comes back. And he's like, I want to kill the Saiyans. And then they're going to go kill the Saiyans. But it's going to be Goku. And he's going to go like super duper Saiyan level B times 10 or some shit. And he's going to be glowing like rainbow colors because it's all about pride.
Sweet.
Or something like that. It's only playing August 4th through the 12th, yep. Too. So if you're into Dragon Ball, which I am, got to check it out that week. I probably will because I haven't. They've been putting out movies every summer now for the last 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
And I totally missed them. One of them was like Battle of the Gods or Battle of Gods. How did I not go see Battle of Gods?
I don't know.
I'm going to have to use that Netflix DVD to get those movies.
Also coming out.
I want to see some. I want to see me some Goku, bro.
The Gift.
And not a re-release of the Sam Raimi film, The Gift, with Cate Blanchett and Keanu Reeves and Katie Holmes and her titties. Because that's the movie where she shows her titties. Mm. I'm just saying. That's what I heard. I didn't.
Okay.
No, that's what I remember, actually. Giovanni Ribisi's in it as well. Anyway, Joel Edgerton.
Yes.
Australia's Joel Edgerton. Wrote it and directed it.
Yes.
Very interesting.
And he's in it.
And he's in it as a creepo weirdo. Yeah. Gordo. I'll be seeing that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Who else come out?
I mean, Meryl Streep needs to be nominated for an Oscar, right?
I mean, if she makes a movie.
So, Ricky and the Flash. There we go. She made a movie.
So, you know, the reviews are actually pretty good for this one. That people actually like it quite a bit. And it's a Jonathan Demme film. He makes good movies. It's not, he doesn't make shit. I don't think the trailers have looked very good, but maybe it's just poor marketing. And maybe there's a story in there that they're not really getting into.
No.
Which maybe then if you see the movie and you find out what the movie's really about, like, oh, I appreciate the marketing not giving all this shit away. But maybe that's not the story. I have no idea. Yes. It's bus.
Shaun the Sheep.
Aardman Animation doing their thing, their awesome claymation thing. Love that shit. 3D printing has made claymation a little bit easier these days.
Oh, I'm because sure.
Now you can 3D print all the facial expressions, like every one you need, and then it's easy to just pop the new expression on instead of having to like mold it, remake it, or shit like that. I saw, I think it was in relation to the Box Trolls. I saw a thing about it. Yeah, I think it was the Box Trolls. Good stuff. Good stuff.
And this tiny little movie called Fantastic.
Fantastic Four. Las Cuatro Fantasticos. That's what they're going to call it in Mexico.
Sweet.
Josh Trank, director of Chronicle, did this one. Apparently there was some on-set craziness. We'll see how good the movie is.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it. Miles Teller, fucking Michael B. Jordan. Those are movie stars of the future right now in the present. Los Fantasticos 4 is.
I mean, hopefully it'll be a good Fantastic Four because every other time they've tried to make
every single
movies,
time, yeah,
they're just awful.
Every single time, it's a shame. It really is a shame. Also, this movie Cop Car with Kevin Bacon might be coming here. I don't know. It's a limited release thing.
Enough when we talk about it.
I only want to bring it up because it did play at some festivals and got pretty well reviewed.
And Kevin Bacon has a bitchin' mustache.
Kevin Bacon has a bitchin' mustache. He plays like a state trooper. A couple kids steal his car and go on a joyride, and he's trying to track him down. Very simple premise, and it's supposed to be very well executed is what I'm hearing. Movie is good enough that the director of that movie was hired to do the Marvel-Sony production of Spider-Man.
Okay.
So the guy who directed Cop Car, that little itty-bitty movie, is now doing a $150, $175 million Spider-Man movie.
Interesting.
And that is interesting. But then what gives me less hope for the Spider-Man movie, they also hired writers, Marvel, and the writers they hired are the guys that wrote and directed the Vacation movie. So that's your Spider-Man humor. Maybe this will be a high school Spider-Man that says fuck a lot.
It's going to be awful.
It could be very well another awful Spider-Man movie. Here we go, guys. Time for my favorite segment of every show, Dr. Drew's Two Cents. A doctor is in. Is it time for a doctor?
Doctor, doctor, You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, the doctor is in. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Welcome to Doctor's Two Cents. I'm just kind of talking about... We're talking about vacations, Chris. There was an awful vacation movie. It's the summer. People go on vacation.
Uh-huh.
There was an awful vacation movie. After the awful vacation movie, I went and had an awful two-day vacation.
Oh.
And I need a vacation from my vacation.
That sucks.
And if that's the case, I never really had a vacation to begin with.
That's the truth.
No, that's the truth. And the doctor is out.
Oh, shit. That's what I'm talking about. The doctor is out. Thank you, Drew. We appreciate it. Time for a Crespo Disco break. In honor of Hot Rod, Roddy Piper, he of the Piper's Pit, and WrestleMania 3, we teamed up with Paul Orndorff, Mr. Wonderful, against Hulk Hogan and Mr. T.
I think so.
I think that's WrestleMania 3. Was it the original WrestleMania? It was the original WrestleMania, because WrestleMania 3 was Hulk Hogan versus Andre Giant. In honor of Roddy Piper, here's a couple songs from the They Live soundtrack done by John Lynn Carpenter himself and his buddy Alan Howarth, something like that. He's got a name that sounds like it's from a Harry Potter book. The names of these songs are something and something else. I forget which ones, but they're good songs. I dig them. It's kind of got a bluesy type thing going on. It's really cool. So we'll be back with the second half of the show. Hope you guys are ready, because we are. Are we?
No.
Uh-oh.
Do it.
What? Cinema. Crespo. Biso. Cinema. Crespo. Biso. Thank you very much. All right, welcome to the second half of episode 134 of Cinema Crespo. So we are all part of the Ghost Nation protocol. This is the protocol of the Ghost Nation.
The Ghost Rogue Nation.
Ghost Rogue Nation?
Protocol.
Joseph Cogburn.
What's up, Chris?
How's it going? I'm Chris Crespo.
Are you?
We're hanging out. I am on Twitter. At I am Chris Crespo.
What about real life?
Oh, that still trying to figure that out.
Okay.
What are you on Twitter?
At antihero419, along with many other places on the internet.
All over the interwebs. Mm-hmm. Hit up Joseph Cogburn on the webs.
Yeah.
Again, you can hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. The show is at Crespo Diso. Facebook, Cinema Crespo Diso. Instagram, Cinema Crespo Diso.
I mean, oh, you know what we should do? Does Netflix still do that? I wonder.
What, hookups like Facebook or whatever? Facebook friends and stuff like that?
No, like Xbox Live with the watch parties.
Oh, watch parties? I don't know.
Because I remember at a certain point in time, if you and an Xbox friend wanted to watch the same movie, you could watch it together-ish.
Mm-hmm. Thing is, I don't like talking during movies. So what are you going to...
Unless it's an awful movie.
So what are you going to... Oh, I guess.
Unless we're hate watching.
Yeah, in that case, yeah, that's true.
I mean,
so it's only down to the hate watching. What do you want to? When you rewatch, you want to do a rewatch 50 Shades of Grey party?
No, no, I don't. No, that's the worst idea ever.
Check out our 50 Shades of Grey spoiler bonus episode from a few weeks ago.
And find out why.
Crespo always pays off his debts, unless they're personalized and non-collateralized, in which case, write that shit off, man. Just bad debt, write it off. We'll all walk away. We're all the better for it.
We'll all be happy.
Email us for stickers, cinemacrustpizza@gmail.com. Also email us with your reviews, questions, topics for the Vox Populi segment, which we'll get to in a little bit. And also, last week I said I was going to ask the people to do something at the top of the show, and then at the middle of this show, I'm going to save that for the Vox Populi. Talk about that. Doug Benson podcast thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll bring that up at the Vox Populi.
Okay.
So now with the plugs out of the way, I think I want to start with Billy D's set to the movies. What do you say? Drusa Gogman over there has our weekly missive from Billy D, our New York City senior correspondent. You ready?
What is up, my dude?
What's up, dude?
My head hurts, my body aches, and I have a mystery smell attached to me like a poltergeist.
Still.
I must have survived Billy D's Summer of Death.
Summer of Death?
: Week of Deathly Death Metal.
Alright.
I bookended a week with Slayer and Slipknot / Lamb of God and saw a movie.
Damn.
My very not metal girlfriend has been dying to see Unfriended for some time. It finally hit video on demand, paywalls within the last couple weeks, and will likely hit the free streams shortly. Unfriended takes place on a laptop screen, mostly in various Skype calls between a group of kids that recently had a friend commit suicide after a cyberbullying incident.
Aww.
It uses real social media interfaces and icons, so it didn't get bogged down in some fake Facers type language.
Oh, yeah. Fake GUI shit. I hate that stuff in movies.
And it works, especially as a morality play. It's scary. It's shocking when it needs to be. It's well made, plays well with its concept, and is super effective. It was kind of a It was kind of cathartic because you got to watch a bunch of rich, whiny white kids get killed. But the kids were almost too real. I'm already convinced most teens today are unstable animals, one Facebook comment away from killing themselves or others, so this didn't do anything to deter that line of thought. It made me super happy. I grew up when I did, with the people I did. Made me want to celebrate the friends I have and get outside away from my screens. I recommend this for anyone who has kids, is scared of kids, is a kid, or works with kids. I recommend if you liked the early 2000s J horror flicks about the internet and teen suicide. I would friend Unfriended. Couldn't resist. I also saw a British documentary about video nasties that was very good, and we'll talk about it at great length on Twitter at I Love Blood.
You know what about I Love Blood?
Stay cool, Billy D.
The original title for Unfriended, remember those two trailers for that movie?
Yes.
The original title for Unfriended was Cybernatural.
I mean, I guess that's more,
because it's a ghost in the machine type of thing.
Yeah, yeah, I guess that's more descriptive.
It is. This one's Unfriended. Makes it sound like a social network spinoff movie.
How Mark Zuckerberg unfriended? Is it? That could be the alternate title for the social network.
That's true.
Unfriended.
That's true. They took Social Network's unused title.
That's the truth, damn it.
That's the truth, 100%. Total truth, unadulterated, unfiltered.
Yes, the truth.
Unrecycled, unwashed.
Unfriended?
Unfriended. Well, that's cool. It's cool. Kind of it's a found footage thing, but POV, as we hacked into the webcams.
Yeah.
There's that Elijah Wood movie that Billy liked, so I gotta watch that. And there's that one that Matt really liked, The Den, which has like a 1-point-something star rating on the Netflix. I just don't wanna. That's what we have Billy D for. He said he watches that stuff for us and lets us know. If you're into it, then you should check it out. Maybe one day if it's on like FX or something.
Perhaps.
With commercials.
Yeah.
I need them commercial breaks to get up, stretch my legs. Rummage around in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Rummage around in the rummager.
Maybe smoke a cigarette.
Maybe.
Miss a couple minutes.
Miss a couple minutes? I mean, what's happening in those minutes I need to know? Nothing. nothing at all. We appreciate it, Billy. Thank you for taking the time to do that between all of the metal. Like I said, Vox Populi is a segment of the people. I've said it before, I'll say it again. This is your segment. Email us, tweet us, Facebook us, and we will talk about whatever you want. We will read your reviews. Podcast of the people. It's time for Vox Populi.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
You got over there the people's stuff. Let's start with the email from our buddy Gabriel.
Okay.
Also known as Rage Against Twit on the Twitter. Uh-huh. And before we do that, last week at the top of last show, I mentioned how Doug loves movies, mega popular podcast. Podcast I've listened to for years too, since like 2012 or something. I love that show. They're coming to Orlando, middle of early September, September 9th. It's on a Wednesday.
We need to get tickets for that.
$20 a pop. No. You say we need to get tickets, but what I want is I want to be on the show. Well, I want to be on the stage with the microphone. I'd get you in. I'll get you on the show. I was like, this is my guy. He's the entourage. He is the entire entourage and production staff. He's the graphic designer guy.
I'm all of it.
He's holding the weed.
I am more Cinema Crespo Diso than Chris is.
He's one, yes. I mean, he's the real Crespo Diso. You should have him on stage. I asked people, hit up Doug Benson. He's active on Twitter, so that was the easiest one, at Doug Benson. But if there are other ways, Facebook, whatever, hit him up that way. And say, hey, it'd be pretty cool if you had Chris Crespo from Crespo Diso on the show, Orlando, at the Improv, et cetera, et cetera. Like, boom, hit him with a lot of people, right? Didn't really work out that way. Only two people sent him a tweet. Rage Against Twit was one of them. Well, Billy D was our other one, out of blood.
Did you see the picture that he put on Twitter?
Well, here's the thing. I'm getting to all that. So he put out a couple of tweets. First, he put out a tweet that was like, hey, get Crespo Diso on the show. And then Doug Benson favored it, which was like, oh, he got his attention.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know what favorite means. Favorite could just mean I acknowledge your tweet. That's what I do. I acknowledge it. I'm not a dick. I acknowledge that he sent me a tweet. Yeah. Favorite. Right?
Uh-huh.
But I'm not going to respond to anything at this time. Billy, a couple days later, did the same thing. Favorited. And both of those were like favorited and retweeted a couple times by people. So that helps.
Yeah.
Okay. What I really wanted was, like, all week, a whole bunch of different people to be hitting it up.
Pow,
but
pow,
but
pow,
apparently
pow.
The people listening to the show don't give a fuck. So, you know, we get it, guys.
We're all lazy, Chris.
So, Rage Against Twit sent him another tweet, I think yesterday. He sent me the picture, right?
Yeah.
As well. He sent him another tweet. Hey, it'd be awesome if you have him on the show. Benson did not favorite it. Nope. He replied. And he replied, I get it. He pretty much replied, I get it. You don't got to hell me about it. Lay off.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Not in those words, but.
Pretty much.
That's what it sounds like. Right? That's what it reads like. And then he responded, oh, okay, I get it, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So all that being said, I don't think anyone should be tweeting Doug Benson anymore. Maybe that's a bad idea now.
Maybe.
Now it could backfire. I've never done this before.
Nope.
I just want to be on the
thing. We're trying.
I just want to be on one of my favorite shows, have a good time. I want to hang out with Doug Benson backstage. I want to get the name of the show out there nationally, internationally. Guy has his own podcast empire.
Yes.
I respect it.
Yes.
Totally.
Yes.
And I just want to kind of leech off it a little bit, you know?
Just a little bit.
Just want to slatch on, suck out a little bit of blood, and get the fuck out of there all engorged from his massive fame and success. I just want a taste of it. That's all. Being honest about it. Being honest, Drew. Don't give me that look.
I'm just saying.
Pure honesty here.
Taking everything that you just said and taking it out of context could.
Well, why are you taking it out of context? This is completely within context.
It sounds like you're talking about something else.
That's
Chris.
Why context is important, Drew. The importance of context cannot be understated or unfriended.
I'm just saying, with a little bit of audio editing.
Please don't. When are you going to edit any? That's hard to say when you're drinking. Oh, shit. Juice to God, bless the world. Juice to God, bless the world. This segment of Vox Populi, interrupted by a quick sparring round of Juice to God, bless the world. Drew, this year you are 8-2. We're going to have a guest in here next week for you.
Oh, are we?
Yes, we are.
Who?
Nikki Wilson.
Okay.
The Full Sail Chick was here with Carl the other week.
Sweet.
We're going to have her on. She's going to tell us about the things she did with Jurassic World and Ant-Man and stuff like that. Yeah. So that's going to be really cool. Looking forward to that. So one more sparring round before we get there. You're doing really good this year. I'm proud of you. This game is called Cinema Crespediso : Characters Welcome.
Hyphen.
Ghost Protocol Nation. I'm going to give you the character name.
Okay.
You tell me the movie. So, for example, if I said Tyler Durden.
Fight Club. Okay. No. Okay. Oh, okay. This might be rough.
Or it might be easy. Number one, Kaiser Soze.
Why am I blanking on this fucking movie?
Because you're on the spot.
Hey.
Yes. Here. Jump start it up. Just start saying words. There you go. Yeah. Just start saying words and it'll come out. Correct.
Sorry, took a minute.
Or maybe this will be harder than I thought. Number two, Kevin McAllister.
Oh, I should know that.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
It does. I don't know.
Home Alone.
I did know that.
Home Alone. I did want to say maybe a couple of these might be a series of films. So if you just say one of the movies, you know.
Nah.
Number three, Bill the Butcher.
Gangs of New York.
That is correct. Did you say Home Alone? Did you get that last one right?
No.
I put a check mark back, so then I confused myself. That got that one right, so you're 2-1. Here we go. Number four, Max Rockatansky.
Mad Max.
That's correct. Number five, Tony Montana.
Scarface.
That's correct. Number six, Jacques Clouseau. Excuse me, Inspector Jacques Clouseau.
Nothing.
The Pink Panther.
Yeah.
Number seven, Marge Gunderson.
Fargo.
That's correct. Number eight, Gordon Gekko.
Come on. They just made the awful sequel.
Mm-hmm. The awful sequel with that guy.
Wall Street?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There we go.
In the middle of drinking my beer, that's correct. Number nine, Jeff Spicoli.
Oh,
so these names are so familiar. Isn't that amazing? Movie characters. But you hear the names and they're like old friends that you forgot about. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. That's a Sean, right. Sean Penn. And finally, number 10, Dorothy Gale. The Wizard of Oz. Dorothy Gale. Like wind, a tornado. You got 6 out of 10.
Hey,
I think you could have done better.
So, you were saying?
Kevin McAllister, though, huh? That name. When I saw that name, I was like, oh shit, Kevin McAllister.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I guess we can stop with the tweets. Even though we only sent out a couple, and they did get a couple of favorites or retweets, which is good. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Knock on wood. He's like, shit, I only have two people. And he always has at least three guests on a show.
Yeah.
And he only has two people.
As of right now?
Yes. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
As of right now, I'm hoping like day of. He's like, shit, what am I going to do?
Oh, fine. Where's this Chris Bodice?
Where's this guy? I'm going to have to keep my eye on the Twitter direct message folder that day. So that being said, Gabriel sent us a tweet before that happened, before he got that tweet from Doug, where he was like, back off! He sent us this email, so go ahead and read that email.
Folks, people of the Deso Nation, we are on a mission to make Chris Crespo and Drister Cogburn uber famous.
Uber famous?
Where do your allegiances lie?
What about Lyft famous?
Are you ready to die, cuz? It's simple. When you see at Crespo Deso retweet Doug Benson, you hit those retweet and favorite buttons. Here are some rough drafts I'm working on that need nation approval. Feel free to add your own creativity. The order is from benign to weirdo.
So he submitted his own drafts of possible tweets to Doug Benson.
Yes.
That he was planning on rolling out before Doug Benson told him to stop it.
Yes.
Good thing he said stop it because he was about to get
butt-fucked
with tweets.
At Doug Benson, my friend has done radio articles and podcasts about movies. He'd be great for #DLM, #Orlando, @Crespediso.
Oh, what a nice guy.
Doug Benson, when I think movies, podcasts, and Orlando, I think DLM and Crespediso.
So those are nice ones.
Yeah. Please consider Crespediso for DLM Orlando. His movie knowledge is as vast as his beard.
Here we go. Now we're getting weird.
My friend is a fan of yours and of movies. You must see his beard. Hashtag DLM, hashtag Orlando, at Crespediso.
It's a normal beard. Yeah.
At Doug Benson, my friend Crespediso refuses to shave until DLM destroys Orlando. Only then can his beard RIP.
Unfortunately, I can't just let it go because it's a summer in Florida, and a beard will never RIP. So
the hair, though. The hair's been going for...
Oh, no. Well, I've converted it. I'm a Nazarene now. I told you that, right? Nazarenes don't cut their hair.
Okay.
It's like Samson. Samson was the last Nazarene until me.
Don't let paganophobia grip you. Give Crespediso a chance. Hashtag DLM. Hashtag Orlando.
I don't know what paganophobia is, but I bet you it's fear of beards. I bet you
20 years ago, at Crespediso had a strange dream at Doug Benson hosted a podcast about movies in hashtag Orlando. He was a weird kid. Hashtag DLM.
I did not have that dream, but I appreciate what you're trying to do there. Build it a mythology.
At Doug Benson, my friend illegally smokes weed and movie watches sober. Don't judge him. Hashtag DLM. Hashtag Orlando. At Crespediso.
That sentence is only partially correct, and I won't say which part.
At Doug Benson, the most famous person at Crespediso met is Afro Man. It was disappointing. Frowny face. But DLM. Hashtag DLM. Hashtag Orlando won't be. And you never met Afro Man, I did.
Yeah, I never met Afro Man. I wasn't there for that. I was out of town.
Yeah.
Drewster met him with a friend of the show, Maddie J, the rocket scientist.
Yes, sir.
The most famous person I met might be Stephen Baldwin. Yeah. Me.
I had a chance running. I mean, I've seen more famous people.
Oh, yeah, because of Sarasota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, I mean, I've seen famous people in New York.
When I was on
I've seen them from a distance.
When I was on the school bus, Michael Jordan used to drive his kid to school.
There you go.
And he would... At the same time my bus pulled up to Prestancia, he was always leaving.
There's Michael Jordan.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, there's Michael Jordan. Hey, look, it's Michael Jordan. Hey.
Because he was in town for the Chicago White Sox stuff.
Well, yeah,
right?
He was playing the
minor league ball.
And I watched him. I stood behind home plate in pretty much an empty ballpark and watched Michael Jordan strike out 3 times in one day.
That's hysterical.
Myself.
That's awesome.
And I watched it with my own eyes, sitting right behind him, just watching. Come on, you can. No, you can't.
You can do it all. No, giant hole in your swing. You suck.
No, you
go back
can't.
To basketball where you were awesome.
And finally, at Doug Benson, my friend once held Alfred Woodard's Golden Globe. Fact. Hashtag DLM. Hashtag Orlando. At Crespediso.
Now, that is indeed a straight up motherfucking
fact. Let me know what's okay to post.
She was out of town, too. She has no idea that my grubby hands were on her Golden Globe, which was like in a side house. It was in the pool house anyway. It's not even like it was probably displayed anywhere. We were just crashing at her pad without her knowledge.
It's cool.
It's all cool. I mean, set your limitations. That was fucking 10 years ago, I think. Yeah. That was 10 years ago, as a matter of fact. Set your limitations. She doesn't care. Yeah, you know, I would have said like, yeah, run with them all, man, and like tell people to like do their own variations of that shit and flood Mr. Benson. But no, I don't want them to hate us or the show or my awesome listeners. So... I appreciate it, guys. Thank you. We got his attention. He knows I exist. He knows in relation to the Orlando show.
Whether he'll do anything about it or not is completely up to him.
And then we'll find out. We'll find out. By a month from now, we'll know whether or not it worked or not.
If not, then we still got to buy tickets for that show.
Yeah, maybe we'll see. Because if not, then I'm going to buy tickets in the crowd. I'm like, I want to be up there. Who do they got up there? Some guy? They got the guy who does the weather for 96.5 FM?
Maybe you could...
storm the stage, Kanye West style.
No, we could walk in with a group of people wearing the Crespediso shirts.
No, see, now...
And walk in like, yo!
No!
You didn't pick us, man! Come on!
That sounds so like 90s radio war. No. That's what's going on in Tampa right now. I can't be a part of that kind of shenaniganry.
Screw all that.
I'm being honest about what I want. I'm putting it out there. The whole secret bullshit. But I don't believe in the secret. I believe in the great magnet. And the way the great magnet works, opposites attract. So I'm putting these positive vibes out. I'm probably going to get a bunch of negative shit.
So on Twitter, at Mr. Nadathon got at us.
Oh, Mr. Nadathon, he's my boy.
He's got a Crespo Dome battle.
Nice, Crespo Dome. That means we pick two actors, and we talk about which one's a better actor, and then which one is would win in a fight.
Yes.
I just wanted to reset that, because we haven't done one of those in a while.
Ben Affleck versus Christian Bale. Okay. For the fight part, both can be in their prime physical conditions.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. So, better actor, Bale or Affleck? I mean, I like Bale. Affleck. I don't think it's even a conversation, right? Bale.
I mean,
Bale's incredible. He does the whole method actor thing.
Yeah, he's a crazy son of a bitch.
He's way too into it. He's the obsessive type.
Between The Machinist and Batman. And hell, I was a fan of Christian Bale before I even knew who Christian Bale was.
Right, when he was American Psycho guy.
No. When I was a kid, you know what one of my favorite movies was?
Newsies?
Yes.
Really?
I fucking loved, dude. I had a hat and everything.
What?
Yeah.
True Chicago was a newsie?
Oh, I totally, 100%. Hooked on that shit.
That's a stare.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I had no idea it was even Christian Bale.
Yeah. Yeah. That, and I think even before that, he did this when he was really young, like 12 years old. So he got started young.
Yeah.
He's been, and he's been great since then, you know, yeah. just honing his craft.
Yeah.
What's he got coming up now? What's he doing now? He's doing something now. Who's he going to be? I wonder what he's doing.
He's
done
all sorts of fun stuff.
Meanwhile, Affleck, he's more of a guy who's been growing into a better actor as of lately, I feel
he's
like.
He's a better director than he will ever be an actor.
I believe so, yes. After Argo and The Town and even Gone Baby Gone, yes.
Yeah.
I think I have some hope for him doing a good Batman movie directing, because he's going to be directing the Batman in 2018.
I mean, as he's getting older, I guess he's becoming a better actor, perhaps.
I feel like maybe he's just making better choices with roles.
Maybe.
Got a better agent, maybe.
Well, I mean,
because he did a lot of really just bad movies, or even he necessarily wasn't bad in all of them. Like, Daredevil, he's not very good. Geely, he's fucking horrible, right?
Yeah.
But then stuff like Changing Lanes, that Samuel Jackson movie he did.
Reindeer
Games, right, where it's just a fucking horrible script, but it's a John Frankenheimer movie. The guy was getting ready to die. I understand. That's why all those people, Garrison East, Charlize Theron, they read the script like, this is shit. I don't want to do it. But John Frankenheimer's directing it. I am in. That's how those kind of movies get made, right? But I think as of late, he's gotten better, and I have some hope for him being a good Batman. I don't know if he'll be better than Bale, though. But
well, they're playing different Batman, so...
They are playing different Batman. He is on the record of saying this is the first older Batman, this mid-40s Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Affleck himself is like 42, 43, so he's playing a couple years older. Not, no big deal there. He's supposed to be a, quote, broken, fucked-up Batman, who, as Affleck, when he described his voice, said he's choking on his own rage.
Yeah.
So, hopefully...
I don't know. I haven't
Maybe just sounds like Hulk.
I haven't seen...
Macho Man.
Affleck do broken and fucked up yet.
I know. At least not well.
Yeah.
We've seen him do Asshole pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did Asshole pretty well.
Actor, it's got to be Bale.
Yeah.
Who would win in a fight in peak physical condition?
Bale.
Because he's crazy.
Exactly.
Right? You see it in his eyes.
And I've seen Ben Affleck do action stuff. And it's not
as convincing.
Pretty. Not as convincing.
I mean, like in The Town, he was super shredded, right? And for that one scene, and I'm sure maybe in this movie and the Batman stuff,
still,
we'll see him as super shredded for a moment.
Like, he seems soft. You know, he's got that pretty face that I just want to punch in for no good reason.
Yeah, and Bale looks like he has the type of eyes where he's the man for the punching.
Yeah,
it
looks like if you said the wrong thing, or you know, if Christian Bale was drunk in a bar and like you. You smudged his shoe or something. Like he seems like the kind of guy that would just knock you out for it.
Affleck is from Boston, right?
Yeah.
That's a tough town. Boston, people are fucking, of all the cities in America, and this includes fucking Philadelphia, people are wound the tightest in Boston.
They are.
They are angry all the time.
I don't think Ben Affleck's that kind of guy.
You think he's one of the softest of the Hardys?
I do.
Christian Bale's from Wales.
Yeah.
Welsh get it pretty bad.
That's almost as bad as being Irish.
Almost as bad as being Irish, which itself not as bad as being Black Irish.
No,
just ask the guy from Thin Lizzy.
Yeah,
but you can't because he's dead.
Yep.
Rest in peace, Phil Lynott.
Anyway.
That was like 30 years ago. in a fight, it's got to be Bale.
So Bale wins hands down.
Hands down. It's a unanimous decision both rounds. Oh. Going to Mr. Bale. Congratulations. Thanks, Nathan. We appreciate it.
He'll probably be the better Batman, too.
Probably. Well, I'll reserve judgment on that until the Batman.
Yeah.
Because by then, we'll have him in three movies as Batman, because that includes Suicide Squad, and three different directors, which is unique.
Yeah.
One actor playing the same character. That's like a James Bond type of thing, but also close together.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get an interesting range of Batman, Batfleck.
Interesting.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. All right, go ahead.
On Facebook, Paul Hine wants to talk about Black Mass.
Yes, I asked on Facebook what he wants to talk about. He merely posted the poster for Black Mass, the Johnny Depp, Whitey Bulger film.
It looks fucking insane.
It does look insane, right?
It's
a good trailer. Good marketing.
It's a good trailer, good marketing, and Johnny Depp is really good at the character acting thing.
Yes.
He really
likes stuff where he gets to disappear into a person.
Exactly. And I have a feeling that for this. I mean, just the look in his eyes, he looks like he's...
Well, it looks like he also has contacts in, too.
Well, yeah, but
so that adds a level of derangement.
Exactly, but he, you know, he's Johnny Depp, so he's got that air of sophistication, you know, the air of class.
Sure.
And then there's this other side of the coin that is just super violent and not caring, and I'm going to blow your fucking brains out in the middle of the streets.
Yeah, it seems super way intense.
I mean, I'm hoping that this is a return to Johnny Depp doing his good Johnny Depp thing as opposed to just being Johnny Depp.
True.
You know?
True. Yeah, I'm definitely hoping for that.
You know, I'm hoping he turns as much into Whitey Bulger as he did in the Hunter S. Thompson.
Right. You know, yeah.
Where he really almost becomes the guy.
Full transformation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping for that for sure. I think there's a good chance of that happening because I would like to point out that the director of this film is a fellow named Scott Cooper. Scott Cooper first did Crazy Heart, the Jeff Bridges movie where he won an Oscar for his portrayal of a broken down old country singer.
I totally never saw that movie.
And then he followed that up with, speaking of Christian Bale, movie did Christian Bale and Woody Harrelson, Out of the Furnace. What the Woody Harrelson was that crazy villain hillbilly?
Oh
dude.
Yeah, and it was him and Casey Affleck.
Casey Affleck, right?
Yeah, working in the steel mill.
Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, Willem Dafoe.
Zoe Saldana.
Yeah,
pretty good movie.
That was
a good director.
Quite good.
Guy's got style, you know. And he's the one who's directed Black Mass, which I also want to say, in the era of so many movies where, like, the Steve Jobs movie is called Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
You know, shit like that. Very plain.
This could have been called... Well,
it could have been called Whitey. It could have been Whitey Bulger.
I like
it. Called Bulger.
I like it how his name's Whitey Bulger, and the name of the movie is Black Mass.
I think Black Mass is an awesome title because it could mean a number of things.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds intimidating.
It does,
Black Mass. Yeah. I like how if you wanted to call it Whitey, it sounds like it's what is this, a racist movie? Is it about a racist? Yeah. We call it Bulger. It sounds like, is this guy
a porno actor? Is he a horny dude? Here?
Whitey Bulger would have been boring.
Yeah.
Black Mass, pretty. So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. Looking forward to it. Also, I want to shout out to Paul Hine. This fella donated to Cinema Crespediso 1,000, at least, that's a rough estimate, but 1,000 bootleg movies. Straight up bootleg.
Yeah.
His dad, for years, every time he rented a movie, copied it onto, and movies that he liked, copied them onto, he ripped them on DVD. Huge collection. They're getting rid of them. Donated them to us. We're now in the process of going through them.
Good Lord, is there so many movies?
So many movies. It's incredible. So thanks, Paul. We appreciate it. You're a very nice guy.
Oh, yeah. I was about to say, you actually met him. How did that go?
Yeah, well, he's a nice dude. We met in a parking lot, like we were doing a drug deal. And
which you know a lot about, right, Chris?
No, man. Okay. What are you talking about? I was just saying you told me about that stuff, right?
Yeah,
you told me.
Yes.
Okay. And he's cool guy, very cool. So we appreciate it, Paul. Thank you very much. Is that it? That's it for the Vox Populi.
Yes.
All right. Remember, you can email us cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, tweet us @crespediso, or hit us up on Facebook cinemacrespediso. We will read your shit. Let's do some movie news and get out of here. Speaking of Batman, Ben Affleck, all that stuff.
Batfleck.
Got some new quotes here. Affleck and Snyder on their older, broken Batman. So Ben Affleck told Empire Magazine, quote, "Initially I thought I'm older. It doesn't seem like the right sort of fit for me." Talking about the role of Batman. "Then Zach pitched me his concept for this older, more broken, kind of fucked up Batman. It was something we haven't seen. We have seen that Batman is willing to cross the line to protect people, that vigilantism has been a part of his character all along, and we are tapping into that mentality when faced by something as potentially deadly as Superman." And then there's another quote here. Where's the one from Snyder that I really like? Now, it's like Snyder says, "We want to assume that Batman has reached this point in his life and career as a superhero, and Superman represents a sort of philosophical change. He's a paradigm shift for Batman. I've been fighting criminals all my life, trying to find justice, and now I am confronted with a concept that is transcendent to me. In the face of Superman, a man robbing a bank doesn't matter." So that's their approach to Batman versus Superman, and I feel like they really did get to like the core of what that represents.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like despite all we've seen where it's like too many characters and they're more concerned about trying to build a whole bunch of movies instead of telling one, it does make me feel like maybe they are approaching this in the right way, at least in terms of the whole Batman Superman thing. And they know what they're doing. You know?
We'll see.
Knock on wood. We will see. Snyder adds, he's having a crisis of conscience. Am I really just a vigilante who stalks the alleys of Gotham? That's all from the Empire magazine. They had a huge thing about it. Also talking a little bit about how Batman works into the Suicide Squad movie and all that. It's so weird how he got this movie.
Yeah.
Batman's essentially in a Superman movie. And then he's going to be in a Suicide Squad movie, mm-hmm. where apparently he's the guy who put all the people... He's the common link between all the villains.
Yeah.
He put them all away. It's Arkham Asylum, yeah. anyway, right? Mostly. Is it Arkham?
No, I don't think it's Arkham.
All of them are in Arkham. And then that's going to lead into... Is Justice League is 2017? No, Justice League is 2018, 2019? But Batman's 2018? No, Justice League 2017. Batman 2018, Justice League 2, 2019? Something like that. So many fucking movies.
I'm just really looking forward to Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
That trailer, she looks really good in fucked up clown makeup.
Good casting there, for sure. Yeah. Good casting. Looking forward to that one. Looking forward to her calling Joker Mr. J.
Yeah. I'm just looking forward to her.
Yeah, more her. Hey, you can always just rewatch Wolf of Wall Street. Oh, yeah. So, Mission Impossible. Mentioned this briefly earlier. Mission Impossible 6 is already underway.
Mission : Impossible -6.
No?
Semicolon.
No semicolons. No semicolons, no hyphens yet.
Rogue, comma, nation, exclamation point, upside down question mark.
They'll come up with a name for it soon. But they're hoping to start shooting Mission Impossible 6 next summer so that it would be coming out the very next year. So it could only be 2 years before the next Mission Impossible movie. And then they may be done at that point with Tom Cruise's Ethan Hunt, because by that point he's going to be his mid-50s. We'll see. I don't know. HGH does amazing things.
I was about to say, it all depends on what... I have a feeling they will keep making Mission Impossible movies as long as Tom Cruise says yes.
Yeah, as long as they keep making money. Also, he came up with an idea for Edge of Tomorrow 2 that he's pitching to Doug Liman. And
okay,
so yeah, maybe they'll find a way to revisit that. Well,
interesting.
Yeah, Edge of Tomorrow is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
Really enjoyed that.
Or as we know it, Lived I Repeat.
The new title, Lived I Repeat : Edge of Tomorrow - Ghost Protocol Nation. Tommy Lee Jones signed on for Bourne Identity 5. The whole thing with Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
They're not continuing that anymore.
I was about to say, because he's kind of spread...
Matt Damon is coming back. Not only is Matt Damon coming back, Paul Greengrass, who directed Bourne Supremacy and Bourne Ultimatum, he's coming back. Both these guys that said they wouldn't do any more Bourne movies are now back for Bourne 5.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Tommy Lee Jones has signed on to do the Ed Norton, David Strathern, you know, the CIA...
The bad guy.
The bad guy. The bureaucratic bad guy role.
I'm cool with that. I like Tommy Lee Jones as a bad guy.
I like Tommy Lee Jones, period. So we got that coming. Star Wars The Force Awakens. This is an interesting factoid that just came out recently. In a movie supposedly composed of 357 scenes, which is a shit ton of scenes for a movie. Wow. There are a total of all the shots in the film that are completely CGI from top to bottom, 28.
Really?
Yeah, and we're just talking just shots, not scenes.
Yeah, shots.
A scene is composed of many shots.
That's surprising.
Surprisingly actually. Low. Compare that to the prequel movies where it's the only things that are real in those movies are the actual actors. Everything else is fucking put in. It's ridiculous. Going complete opposite route with the new Star Wars. Way more practical effects. It's going to look great. If anything, it's going to look fantastic. Mm-hmm. Also, apparently... J.J. Abrams like kind of popped a bone in his back on the set.
Oh, really?
Remember the story about Harrison Ford breaking an ankle?
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams revealed recently that when the door, a huge hydraulic door, metal door, fell on Harrison Ford, hit his foot, he said his ankle was turned 90 degrees. Like, it was immediately obvious that it was broken. J.J. Abrams jumped up super quick to try to help Ford, and he felt a pop in his back, and apparently he busted a bone in there.
Oh.
Yeah. you know what? It happens.
Yeah.
It happens. Michael Moore, remember him?
Yes.
Lefty version of Rush Limbaugh. But yes. Instead of talk radio, he does movies.
Yeah, and you know, the shame was some of his early stuff was so interesting.
He's done some good movies.
And
his last couple ones have been
kind of groundbreaking.
Yeah.
That it's a shame that he's such a lefty fuck.
He is a bloviating one, yeah. Too. Yeah, so polarizing. But yeah, he's still pretty good at making movies, though. Fahrenheit 9-1-1, no matter the content of it, it's entertaining.
Yeah.
So is Roger and Me, which is much more real and personal and very good. But he announced his next movie that he actually made surreptitiously with no one really knowing, a whole documentary called Where to Invade Next. That's the name of the movie. It's a documentary which has been completed in secret, will make its world premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival in September. Here are the deets. Moore tells the Pentagon to stand down. He will do the invading for America from now on. Discreetly shot in several countries and under the radar of the global media, Moore made a searing cinematic work that was both up to minute and timeless. That they didn't tell us anybody. So in a Q&A he did recently on Periscope, Michael Moore said, "The issue of the U.S. in infinite war is something that has concerned me for quite some time and provides a necessary satire for this film. Now the secret is out. I have a new movie. We're very excited. The blah, 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 blah. We've all been living in this time, post 9/11, and everything that's going on in this country and this constant need to always have an enemy. Where's our next enemy so we can keep this whole military industrial complex alive and keep the companies that make a lot of money in business? I've been a little bothered by that." So that's where the comedy comes from. So this is an actual comedy? So it's not a documentary? No, it is a documentary, but it's a comedic documentary. I don't know. We'll see. Weird. That's Michael Moore's next movie.
Yeah.
It's all about our country always having to be at war with other countries. Because of the military industrial complex.
Yeah.
I get it. And this one is for folks like Billy D, our horror film aficionado. Mm-hmm. There's now a streaming video service that focuses on horror films.
Oh, really?
And it's called Shudder, S-H-U-D-D-E-R. And the cool thing about Shudder is that it curates the movies for you.
Okay.
So, like, you would see a menu screen, and it would say stuff like Haunted Habitations, or A-Horror, as in Asian Horror, Alien Intruders, Psychos and Mad Men. And then you would click on these categories, or, like, Eco-Terror. You click on Eco-Terror, and you scroll down, it's a bunch of movies about, like, The Bay, you know? Or remember that one? Did you ever see The Bay? Found footage movie about the water is so polluted that it was like killing people or something, but it was framed like a horror film.
Okay.
Did you ever see that? It's on Netflix. Anyway, Barry Levinson. Brand new service. So for all you folks that like your horror films and you want to watch a whole bunch of them, this is the way to do it. And it's not even that expensive. It works on mobile apps for Apple and Android, Roku. Get a 14-day free trial. It's $5 a month or $50 a year. Huh. $5 a month to stream all the horror movies you can? I mean, I think that's a good deal for people that like that kind of stuff.
I mean, yeah, if you're into horror movies.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. There you go, guys. Quick rundown of the movies, of the movie news, stuff going on out there. That's it. We're all done. Thank you, Juicy Cogman.
Very well.
We appreciate it. Thank you for downloading and listening. Again, please share the show. Let everyone know. Tweet us at CrestBadiso. Hit us up on Facebook, Cinema CrestBadiso, and Instagram, Cinema CrestBadiso. Hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crest, but email the show at CinemaCrestBadiso@gmail.com. Rate us and review us 5 stars on iTunes. And yeah, rate and review. Support R-rated movies. Get your money out of the banks. Pay your bills on time. Build credit and then destroy it. And then destroy the system. We're out. Check 1, 2, check hello, hello, hello.
Check, check. I'm a little hot. Check 2, 3. Check 4, check 5.
Did they show the Revenant trailer when you saw Mission Impossible?
Which one was the Revenant?
The Leo DiCaprio, yes. Tom Hardy?
Yes.
I saw that on the RPX screen.
Yeah, I saw it on the IMAX.
Oh, you saw it on IMAX?
That was... I didn't pick the showtime.
Yeah.
Somebody else did.
That's what happened to me with RPX. I got pushed back to the 4.
Oh. Somebody said, 8 o'clock, Mission Impossible. I went, and I went to buy tickets, and it's 8 o'clock, Mission Impossible. Fuck. IMAX. $15 fucking movie.
But, so, was it one of those LIMAX screens? Yeah. The RPX was 15 bucks.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. So you probably saw the same. Well, did you? Because it's on IMAX screen. Did you see the Zoolander 2 trailer?
No.
Zoolander?
No.
Did you see the...
I saw a bunch of shitty IMAX previews. Because every single preview that I saw said, seat on the IMAX. See IMAX.
Like, what was when I saw that ended? It said, see the IMAX. I can't remember. But the Revenant one, I was like, they should have just shown the Revenant trailer twice and then started the movie.
They should have. It's a really good trailer.
Yeah, would have been fine by me. Oh, the Jobs trailer. You didn't see that one. They're not showing that in IMAX.
No.
Drama about Steve Jobs. That's a really good trailer. We'll show that. What was the one that was... I want to know what they played on the IMAX.
I forget.
The new Spectre trailer? Are they showing James Bond on IMAX screens?
Yes, saw the Spectre trailer.
And, I can't remember.